uninitiated, the rap part of that is kind of mapped out, but is actually freestyle. So it's takes a bit of nerve, that. I wouldn't do it. Thank you very much. Well, we're going to be looking at our theme for a little while now. Do I have the PowerPoint up, please? Thank you. So, and the title we gave to our evening was Return to Wonderland. We'll just look at a little bit more of that shepherd story in a moment, and the ways that people responded to those shepherds. But on one level, of course, right at the center of the story is the baby. And babies come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? I was just looking at some images, and so here's the... rather surprised baby by this world, but very excited by it. And here's a slightly scared baby, but a little bit unnerved by it. And that's the baby who just thinks that it's about really being chilled and eating when you can. And then here's a baby who's just very suspicious the whole time. And they've got good cause to be suspicious, because sometimes as adults we do this kind of things to babies, which is a real liberty, but it's a good photo for their 18th birthday, I guess. And of course, then there's that wonderful, wonderful bond that is set up, isn't there, between a parent and their child, and that lovely, you know, that smell you get off your baby's head when they've just been freshly bathed, and it's beautiful, isn't there? But of course, there is too the other aroma. In fact, we have a slight problem in this building with our drains at the moment, and every now and again we get this incredible smell comes through the building, and I won't bore you with the detail why that is, but it's very, very, very spasmodic. But it happened one Tuesday morning, which is our toddler group morning, and apparently the smell kind of came down the building here, and it was like a rather bizarre Mexican wave, according to Val behind the hatch there serving drinks, because as the smell spread down, each mother or carer picked up the baby and sniff the bottom, put it down. No, it's not my one. And it was apparently the ripple came down the building here. And you know, in one sense, when you're talking about the baby Jesus, you are talking about your typical average smelly baby, aren't you? Really, I mean, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Word of God, the light that comes into the world, the Prince of Peace, probably smelt pretty bad from time to time. And he needed to be cared for. He was completely vulnerable. Like any of these babies here, they needed somebody to actually put things around them to keep them warm when it was cold. They needed something to put food into their mouth, because Jesus would have been incapable of feeding himself or clothing himself. A very, very normal, vulnerable little human person. And so what is all the amazement and the worship and the pondering that we're going to hear about coming from? Let's have a little look at this scripture here. This is the end of the passage that Margaret was reading to us. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. That is the shepherd speaking. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And we're going to pick up that word from the response of the people who heard that word, amazed. And we're going to pick up that word, or that description of the shepherds who glorified and praised God. And we're going to pick up that word from Mary, who ponders these things in her heart. Amazement. I'm old enough to remember the first moon landing. Who here saw the first moon landing? The number goes down year by year. It gets quite depressing, doesn't it, really? I was on a cadet camp in Devon, and we went and paid some soldiers some money to go into their Nissen hut for the night and watch this incredible thing of these guys landing on the moon. And, of course, our good old English squaddies slept through the lot, but there you go, busy men. And but it, thoroughly amazing event. Just, you know, you'd walk out from that and you'd look up to the sky, wouldn't you? Well, we did. You most of you didn't, because you didn't see it. But you'd walk up, look up to the sky, and you think, the moon you'd seen all your life, suddenly, you thought, it's got people on it right now. And it was really amazing. And, you know, the funny thing was that those moon men, they say it was supposed to be a big PR thing for America. But when they went around the world, it was like the whole world owned it. You know, humanity has managed this, has got to the moon. And it was a most amazing moment where the whole world was celebrating something which had been achieved in our time. And of course, the sad thing is it no longer amazes, and it should do, you know. Isn't it interesting that the film that we get excited about is the film about the moon mission that goes wrong, and they get out of it, you know. It's quite interesting, that, isn't it, how it's that thing going wrong and escaping, which is much more exciting than things just working and being phenomenal. The shepherd story, amazed. The shepherds went and shared the things that had been said to them. The shepherds, they certainly woke up very fast that night. I don't know how you wake up. Sometimes my waking up process is quite long and quite protracted. Now and again, something happens in my life where adrenaline courses through the veins and you're awake in a moment, aren't you? And I reckon these shepherds were awake in a moment. And they were off down that hill to see this thing they'd been told about. And as they spread the news to those people who heard it afterwards, they were saying, do you know what? We had all these phenomenal signs in the sky, these angels appearing to us. And they said, this is the Messiah. This baby that has been born, this visitor to Bethlehem who's come here for the census, and the baby's been born right here, that little baby, this is the one. Sounds something like something from the Matrix, doesn't it? This is the one. And the one we've been waiting for all these years. And of course, with all that story behind it, people are going to believe it. And there was amazement that this little baby was the one. And you know, as I reflected on that, I was reminded how my God has amazed me frequently through my life, through protection, when I've needed protection, through his promises that he's kept to me, through the meaning and purpose that he's given to me, that this God of mine, you know, those things which I can point to two times when I've actually witnessed healing, instant healing. I remember having an ankle that was refusing to heal over the course of about 2 years, and one day something needed to happen, and my wife came and she put her hand on my ankle and prayed for my ankle, and I felt a heat go straight into my ankle, and it was instant healing. And I was also present at the moment when my wife, who was suffering from depression, was instantly healed from her depression. I know that's very, very unusual. It's usually there's work to be done, a process, but for Marion that was an instant thing. Absolute instant process. And those things amaze. But you know, it's a sad thing, isn't it? But actually, it's the ordinary things of life which should amaze us more. The fact that God has made us, that we have this wonderful, wonderful world to live in, that we have this wonderful quality of life that we can enjoy, that we have spirits with which we can actually relate with God, that we have that capacity to ask questions about our being. You know, these are the things, the everyday things, the normal things that really should be amazing us about the things that God has given us. I'm amazed by the leading and the guiding that I've had. My God amazes me frequently. What about glorifying and praising? Let's go a step beyond being amazed. You know, you see a conjurer doing something which you find unbelievable, and you can be amazed. And you go away saying, wow, I was amazed. And it does nothing more than that. But these shepherds, they glorified and praised God. And the reason why they glorified and praised God was because everything was just as they had been told. I reckon they had an interesting conversation walking down that hillside to Bethlehem. I reckon that as the adrenaline started to die down in their bodies, as they got halfway down the hill there, I reckon that there was at least one of them who began saying, guys, are we doing the right thing here? You know, we've got a herd of sheep up there who aren't being protected, number one. Number two, I've got to tell my friends down in that village when they get to hear why I'm here. They're going to say, why are you here, not with your sheep? And I'm going to have to say, because I saw some angels. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be laughed at for the next 40 years. And what is more, we're banking everything on the fact that there's going to be a baby in that, well, we're going to find a baby. We're just going on what they've said. And they must have been so bowled over when they found this little family and this new baby wrapped and in a manger, just as they were told. And they would have remembered the fact that God had made these promises for years and years and years back that were being fulfilled now. And they would think, well, God is a God who keeps his promises. You know, my God has always kept his promises to me. And those promises to hold me and keep me, to give me what I need for the things he calls me to do, to provide for me, to give me hope, to give me meaning and purpose. And all those things that God's promised me, the promise of peace, even in things which have been very, very life-threatening, these are promises God's kept to me. It's a good thing to have a God who keeps his promises. And then that final word, ponder. I don't know what ponder conjures up for you. Maybe it's the thinker, or maybe it's something more laid back like that. But in this story, we have Mary who ponders all these things in her heart. She treasures what's been happening and ponders them. She thinks deeply about what it would mean. What does it mean for the road that she has to travel? For Mary, it meant many ups and downs. She would have to watch the events of Jesus' life. She would watch those very amazing events as she goes to the temple with the 13-year-old who's able to debate with the leaders and the thinkers of his day. She witnesses this man becoming this great teacher and healer. She sees this man attracting a lot of conflict. She sees her son brutally killed. And then she sees him rise from the dead. And what's remarkable is that this woman goes eventually from being a mother to being a disciple. She starts off being a mother, and she actually ends up being a disciple of Jesus. And as this mother, this young woman with a baby in the arms, thinks about these events that she's already had leading up to the birth, but now at the birth with the shepherds coming and angels and these promises, as she looks at that baby, she ponders. She says, what will this mean for me? And I would have to say that my God has touched every part of my life. My God's touched the person I am because he has kept my self-worth when there's been a great deal of mockery and ridicule and things to deal with, both as a child, well, primarily as a child. He affects my values. He's affected the career I chose. He's affected the wife I've chosen. He's affected the way I've parented. He's affected just about everything every day. And it's been good. It's been good to have God involved in my life. It's been good. He's been a good God to follow and to walk with. And you know, as we enter into this Christmas season, we need to recapture that amazement. Like the moon landings, it's a story we're very familiar with, and we can become dismissive of it. But God did send this little baby, and he did herald that birth in these extraordinary ways. We should glorify God because he does keep his promises. And God's promise to you, as it is to me, is, James, I want to forgive your sins and I want to give you eternal life. And that's his offer to you, a promise he'll keep. To wipe the slate clean, to give us a fresh start, to become a friend, a companion through our days. And it warrants pondering, because if these things are true, then it's going to touch every part of our lives. If God so loved the world and comes down into the world that he wishes to reach out to you and to me in this way, then it's going to touch every one of us. And I would ask you, as we go through this Christmas season, as you have your trees and as you unwrap your presents, I hope, and as you have great food, I hope, and depends who's cooking, I guess, but as you enjoy this Christmas, I'd ask you just to take those moments to step back and take a few moments to be amazed again that a God should come, to give him thanks and praise for his love for you, but also to ponder it in your heart and to say, God, what does this mean for me? What does it mean for the way I live this next year? What does it mean for the way I walk each day? Because you're this kind of God who's touched my life. Let's just take a moment to reflect on this truth.